Welcome to The Cloud, a weekly show discussing all aspects of the cloud and how it relates to people, enterprises, and society. Our goal is to make traditionally complex concepts of the cloud accessible to the general public for personal and professional use. Here's your host, Aaron Mungall.
Hello, cloud friends. Thank you for joining us on another episode of The Cloud. I am here with Paul Roberts.
Boy, I am so excited about this episode here. You know, that opening says we're trying to make complex discussions regarding the cloud clear to the average person. We're going to have a challenge here today with our topic.
Yes, we are.
We're talking about the Clinton email mess that is captivating all the news channels here. And we're going to try and delve into it a little bit and look at it from the standpoint of the MSP. What responsibilities, liabilities, and other things do they have in this whole process? And joining us to help with this is our guest, was on the show previously and really suggested this whole idea, Charles Weaver, CEO of the MSP Alliance. Welcome, Charles.
Thank you, gentlemen. Good to be back.
Yeah, and Charles is—he has a Bachelor of Arts degree in Political Science from Arizona State University and a Juris Doctorate from Texas Wesleyan University School of Law. And he is in charge of running the daily operations of the MSP Alliance. And like we said, we're going to be discussing about Hillary Clinton's MSP, Platte River Networks, who handled her data. They're coming under investigation by the FBI due to her email scandal. There's some details here. So,
well, let me just kind of lay out some of this stuff here for everybody and see if I've got this right. I'm pulling this off of a Wall Street Journal. This is their Washington wire here. So maybe it's not a completely unbiased explanation here, but I don't know. I think it's going to be hard not to get into some bias in some of this discussion here. All right. When Hillary Clinton was Secretary of State from 2009 to early 2013, she used a private setup for her email. And then in late 2014, she turned over her work-related emails from this private server at the request of the State Department. And since then, they've started looking into this. They've inspector generals look into this. They said the State Department would be reviewing all these emails for any sensitive information in consultation with other government agencies before releasing them because, as we know, under the Freedom of Information Act, all of this stuff gets to be released, all that's not classified. And that's where we are today. Now, you've got various organizations like this one I saw on C-SPAN the other night. They call themselves a Judicial Watch. It looks like a conservative group of people here that have actually sued under the Freedom of Information Act to get this information out as quickly as possible. I think they did this in conjunction with the American Enterprise Institute, another conservative think tank here. So clearly they'd like to see what's on them. You know, there are certainly people that would like to make political hay with this, but it really opens up some bigger issues here. Anything I missed in that rundown, Aaron? Give us some other facts and stuff here.
Yeah, I read several articles on this, and I wanted to just sort of break down some facts for everyone who maybe hasn't been following the story. And certainly, Paul and Charles, feel free to fill in any gaps. But the MSP is called Platte River Networks. They're based out of Denver, Colorado. They're being reported as a mom-and-pop shop in a loft. However, it seemed like that loft is actually a big commercial space. It looked like there were about 30 people pictured in a company picture. They were tasked with configuring and securing Hillary's email server. The server was supposedly wiped before being placed in a data center in New Jersey. Also, it was supposedly wiped before being handed over to the FBI, said some sources close to some of the media. The FBI had no search warrant or subpoena. They didn't interview the MSP. The server apparently was in Clinton's basement while she was Secretary of State. And then when she was requested, as you said, Paul, she handed over 55,000 emails in December. She deleted 30,000 personal emails. Platte River Networks claims there's a very high likelihood there's a backup of emails that she deleted. Hillary claims that she never received or sent any classified email on that server. And thus far, investigators claim there have been the new number. It initially was 60. Now they claim there's 305 emails that have classified data on them.
Wow.
So now this is bringing up some various questions that we had discussed before.
We're going to go into all of this. All right. So, Charles, let's start with the fact. Is this poor company here that set up this email server, are they one of yours? Are they part of the MSP Alliance?
Platte River Networks is not a member of the MSP Alliance, nor
Phew.
Are they
okay.
a certified company. So, to my knowledge, the first time we did a search through our database, and they are not in our database. So, unless they used a different name, they're not a member of ours, and they haven't been certified by us.
What do you know about this group? You said it even goes further. They've been investigated by other people as well here.
Well, yeah. So, I don't know. What caught my attention is, I think, what both of you just listed out pretty accurately is, and let's start off by saying I don't want this to be a political.
Yeah, and we're not trying to hang Hillary here or whatever, but I think it's going to bring out some really big issues, which you're going to open up here. And I think, why are public officials doing this, and how many of them are doing this, and what are the rules about doing this?
From my aspect, my perspective, and you know, the folks at Network Remedy might know a lot about this, which is, you know, we call it BYOD, or bring your own device. It's mm-hmm. a very common concept in the corporate world and private sector, but it doesn't apply in government, right? If you are the Secretary of State, why would you go out and set up a private server and use a, speaking no ill will of the Platte River Network?
Right.
People, because we don't know. We
right.
don't know a lot of information yet. A lot of questions, no answers. Why would you do that when she could have gone day one in office, go to her IT department head and say, spin up the most secure server, redundant email, spam filtering, antivirus, backup,
right.
you know, archiving, the whole works, and it would have been done. It would have been done like almost instantaneously, and she could have said, hey, give me a couple of really secure BlackBerries and do it right. And she instead
went outside the system,
not only the opposite, but did a probably a very sloppy job of, you know, putting this thing into the hands of certainly not a known company,
mm-hmm.
but a company that probably, had they known about it, wasn't ready for the task of managing a server that I would say
a high level profile individual.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it would
high profile individual.
I mean, it would have been attacked or probed by every foreign government out there, because that's what they do to our State Department and
everybody,
you know,
who works therein. Yeah. Well, let's, and here was one of the things that came out in the C-SPAN debate, and of course C-SPAN is a very neutral third party. I don't know this Judicial Watch, where they're coming from. When I go to their website, it looks pretty conservative. They're attacking lots of things about Obama and Hillary and stuff. So I suspect they have an agenda in trying to get to the bottom of this. But one of the things they brought out is that she also had a political advisor, a senior political advisor named Sidney Blumenthal, and he was hacked
mm-hmm.
recently.
I heard about that.
He was hacked by some, they claim, Ukrainian guy. So their point is just what you're kind of saying. If you're a high-profile individual, there are people are going to try, whether you're Britney Spears or Hillary Clinton, people are going to try and break into your emails. We see it all the time. So why would you not go to the highest level of security in doing this? And I think I'm going to take a stab at answering this question that's on everybody's mind here, based on some research I've done and some experience I have with some other local political races. OC Talk Radio was asked to moderate nearby here in Long Beach the city attorney's race. I thought, okay, how hot or contested can this be? It got pretty hot and contested. And the challenger, one of the things he accused the city attorney of doing was having his own private email server. And the response to this was, well, two or three things. One, you don't want me using the private phone or the office phone for my private phone calls, do you? Same thing with email. Do you want me using the government email for my private stuff? I'm not supposed to do this. So I have two devices. I have the one you gave me, and I have my own that I've had forever, and that's just for private stuff. As you dig deeper into this, there was some discussion about, and if I don't have some place to honestly and openly email to talk to people, if everything's going to be recorded and saved on the government-supplied device, I guess I'm not going to use it very much. How do I conduct open and honest conversations? How do I talk about, geez, I don't know, that this lawsuit looks kind of frivolous to me. I don't know if I like this guy doing it. How do I have an open conversation if I know everything's going to be recorded and come to light later? What do you say to that? You're the attorney in the group, Charles, here.
Yeah, well, I think that the rules are fairly clear, and regardless of party, you have an obligation when you are a public official to preserve and protect you know, correspondence because it's part of the job that you're being paid to do. And there's a we have a law, you know, 18 U.S. Code Section 1924 is specifically the law that I think Hillary and people I've read may be in jeopardy of violating, which is, you know, she came into contact with classified information. She knew, everybody would have known she was going to come into contact with classified information. If that was the only email she had, it would seem like she walked into a knowing violation of this federal law. She's an attorney. It's not like she wasn't aware of it.
Yeah, right.
Why
mm-hmm.
did she do it? And why did no one, and I hate to say this, but her boss.
Why did nobody stop her?
Exactly what I'm wondering.
She claims that the State Department, I don't know if I don't have this in front of me here, but I heard that she claims, so I'll give a little distance to this, that she claims that, well, the State Department knew I was doing this. And in some of the debates I watched on Fox and MSNBC over the last week, both sides, they both kind of admit that even if she didn't think about it, others knew where they were sending her because they knew it wasn't Hillary at, you know, state.gov. I mean, they knew they were sending it to some other email. It was obvious from the extension that this was not the official email. So people were sending her stuff at this email address knowing, were they in violation of the law?
Mm.
Or for not blowing the whistle, or if they sent classified stuff, then they were sending it to an unsecured server here.
So there are two main issues that I'm concerned with. The first issue is one related to our profession in managed services and cloud computing, and that is solely, what did Platte River Networks get themselves involved in, and can it be a teachable moment, if you want to use that term, for other MSPs? Because whether or not they did something wrong, this is a really good example for MSPs of what not to do.
Exactly.
I mean, they got themselves in a bad mess, and they're getting the worst type of PR you could ever want. Their client is in a bunch of hot water, and you've got this managed service provider on the front page of almost every news publication in the United States.
Unwanted attention. And we'll focus on that. I want to leave that for the second half of the discussion here, because I think this is a teachable moment and a lot to learn. But I want to finish in the next 5 or 10 minutes with this overall idea of who else in the system of government. I don't know that we've clearly thought this out. Do we want to have private servers for public officials for their private communications, or will this or do we want everything recorded, in which case they just will stop using it because they can't openly discuss things that might seem sensitive or embarrassing later on? Do we want that? And then the second part of that issue is, when people know that somebody's doing this anyway, rightly or wrongly, are they responsible when they communicate with that person, particularly if they send sensitive information to them? I mean, this could this go wide? Could this be a whole net of people that get caught up in this mess here?
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what I think the law already says.
Okay.
And I'll give you a public policy example in less than 5 minutes.
So okay,
probably
good.
Less than 2 minutes. So, first of all, federal rules of civil procedure for a number of years have already been clear on the point that if you're likely to be involved in a lawsuit at the federal level, you have to take certain measures to safeguard and retain correspondence within your company.
Okay.
Emails, chat messages, etc. And that means you can't just disregard and throw away and wipe servers, because if you get, you know, a federal judge that says, I want you to disclose all this information to us for this proceeding, and you say, sorry, judge, I don't have it, the judge is going to say, sorry, you're out of luck, you're fined, and, you know, or worse.
And in fact, the State Department was ordered, according to the Judicial Watch website, by U.S. District Court Judge Emmett Sullivan, I think was appointed under the Clinton administration, the previous Clinton administration, on July 31st to request that Clinton and her top aides confirm under penalty of perjury that they have produced all government records in their possession. I think this is what the problem is, and I'm not sure the State Department has complied with that at this point in time here.
I don't think we know that, but that leads to the second major point, which is, if this private server was being used, and we all anticipate that a lot of classified information, or even if it was just one classified bit of information, went through it, as a citizen, you know, I'm wondering, you know, where's my money going, that all this tax, I mean, the NSA all the way down to the different federal departments probably get a total of, you know, in the hundreds of millions, if not billions, allocated just for IT.
Mm-hmm.
And if she purposefully circumvented all of that great software, hardware, and people and process, you know, that put a lot of people potentially in danger, our country, because it's stuff that's not protected other than this little small Denver MSP that nobody really knows anything about.
Do people then who realize, hey, you're a public official and you want me to send it where? To this Gmail account or to this private server account here? I don't think I feel comfortable doing that. Because I'm then violating the law, too. Particularly if I'm sending you something I know. Hey, Hillary, I want you to look at this. It's marked classified. Where do you want me to send it? To your Gmail account? I don't think so. So does the liability extend further than just Hillary for setting up the server and being foolish enough to do this? Does it
Especially considering it was in New Jersey and the company was in Denver. So who is,
Well, then
we'll
get into this further. I mean, you know, I'm just talking about the, should public officials have private servers? You're saying no. You're saying the law is pretty clear that they should not have private servers.
I would say the law is fairly clear when it comes to classified information that would be not good. General Petraeus was already prosecuted, I believe, under that same law that I just cited,
right,
for having a document in his
at home on his private server.
Have.
Yeah, and he was had some of this stuff, and they jumped on him, and now it's come to light apparently that General Colin Powell, when he was Secretary of State, supposedly used a private Gmail account or something like that to do what Hillary claimed she did, just to have private conversations here. And the danger is that something can move from one to the next pretty quickly here, that somebody sends you something and attached to it you didn't see down the chain is something sensitive.
I'm going to be clear, though. I'm not saying that she had no right to have her own private email server. She did. She does. Right? What I'm saying is, I don't think she had a right, and she was darn right foolish for having her personal email as the only email communication that she used.
Right.
That was where she crossed the line from a personal choice to potentially violating the law, and certainly just, it was a bad idea. No matter who you are, no matter what political leaning you have, it was just a bad idea.
Particularly because she didn't have two accounts, like some public officials doing, like the guy in the Long Beach City Attorney's race said. He said, I got my private one. You can send it to me there if it's private. And then I got my public one supplied by the government, which is, I understand, going to be saved, going to be released under Freedom of Information Acts, and will be available for any future lawsuits should any arise. So you have to carry two devices with you, your device and the one that you're that the citizens provide. Or if a company, you know, that kind of extends the same way. Do people... If I'm dealing with sensitive business information, should I be doing that through my Hotmail account? Probably not. I should be doing that through the protected server for my big company here. So you're saying that that's okay to have those two things, but you got to really be clear what you use one for and what you use the other one for.
Look at all the attention the president got for wanting to keep his BlackBerry.
Oh, yeah. When he came into office,
they had to take it away from him. And they retrofitted it. They put encryption technology. They modified it to the point where they felt it was secure. But they went through that much attention for his phone, and I'm sure it included email and messaging services. Hillary is not that far, you know, removed in terms of importance.
Oh no, she's third or fourth in line or something. I forgot the exact number, but to the presidency here. In the event of disaster, it's the vice president and the speaker of the house, and I think it's the secretary of state after that. Again, you know, we're all just incredulous why she would do this. She claims it was just more convenient to have one device with one email, and she chose to do that outside of the government norm. Doesn't that seem unbelievable for somebody who is a high-ranking official, been around a long time, and is an attorney herself? Why? Has anybody come up with any logical reason other than just stupidity that she did this? Or was she knowingly, as I'm suggesting, I'm not trying to blame Hillary again, but there seems to be a desire among public officials to have a private form of communication that doesn't turn into public record.
circumvention of archiving seemed to be very apparent here.
Right.
You asked a question that I'm really unwilling to voice here.
To delve into, yeah.
It is, no, well, I'll tell you why. Because the only logical, plausible explanations for your question, mm-hmm. and it's a plausible, realistic question to ask, are not good.
Yeah. Right.
And we don't know enough yet, but this is not a person who was devoid of resources. This person had the entire resource of most of the federal government at her disposal. And to go the path she did begs the question that you asked, and the answers are
why have everything through one device? Why and have that device outside the system here? That seems to be the big issue here. And she says, well, it was just easier, and I didn't use it for any purposes. And now we're saying, well, yeah, maybe you didn't knowingly send confidential information out, but people sure apparently sent you stuff that was, in fact, labeled. And then the question was it labeled at the time it was sent? They're going to argue about that. Well, no, later it was classified, but when I got it, it wasn't classified, or I didn't see somebody wipe the classification off of it when it came to me. They're going to come up with all, you know, what was the word that her husband got hung up on? You know, what does is mean or something? What does what does sex mean?
What does
wipe
mean? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I think they're going to really get into some pretty, they're going to try and obscure this thing as much as they can. So, all right, Hillary's got a problem here. Now I want to talk about the problem that the MSP has. And I think that's the teachable moment here. Let's delve into this. I got to ask two questions. Is the MSP like a bank, like the old bank? Hey, I don't care. I didn't know where the money came from. So a guy keeps bringing in barrel loads of cash. It's not up to me to ask where this money comes from. I just put it in the bank. And then at some point, the government said, no, if somebody comes in with more than $10,000 in cash, you got to tell us, because they're probably a drug dealer or doing something wrong. So now banks have a responsibility to report this stuff. And do they have a liability in not in setting this up and circumventing the law? Forget about the later liability of maybe it wasn't secure. Do they just... Is this something that all MSPs now have to pay attention to?
The answer is unequivocally yes. All MSPs need to pay attention, even the ones outside of the United States, need to pay attention, because this is an example of how a client can get you into trouble.
Quick.
And not knowing what Platte River Networks did or did not do. And we know some things, and we can talk about that shortly.
Right.
We do know that they knew who their client was.
Right.
And
right.
Unless they just were completely, you know, blind to that fact, or were told, you know, things that ended up not being true, meaning they were misled. And I'm not saying that happened. I'm just saying as a hypothetical.
Yeah. Somebody could come to them and say, we want to set this up for XYZ, and they didn't know that XYZ is the Secretary of the Navy. They just didn't know that.
Yeah, well.
They should, but they didn't, right.
She was, and after they knew, what did they do to protect that server? And at the moment that they thought that they were handling a device that was capturing or transmitting classified information, they became really vulnerable because of the action of their client. And it's a bit unique.
Right. But again, I'm going to go back and press further here. I'm going to say, so are they, if you come to me, I'm an MSP, and I know that you're a government official. First of all, do I have to check you out to see if you're a government official these days? You just want to set up a private service? Sure, we got those here. Here we go. And all of a sudden, we ask you your occupation or something, and you say government. Am I supposed to go through some other standards to do that? And if I don't, am I knowingly breaking the law? Am I the bank taking money from drug dealers, and I should be aware of what's going on here? Am I breaking the law by opening those accounts?
It's a really good question. I'll answer it in this way, if I may. It's one thing if the State Department had approached Platte River Networks and said, Platte River, you know, we believe you're a good MSP. We want you to handle the outsourcing of our email servers.
Right.
That is done all the time. The federal, state, you know, municipal, local governments do it all the time. It is a common practice. This is different. This is different because it is an individual who happened to hold a
public office.
Public office.
Right.
Who was saying, presumably, hey, I've got a server. It doesn't say state.gov, but it says whatever it said, you know,
yeah, right.
My Hillary email. And will you protect it? At that point, I would have just said, okay, do you want us to back it up? No. Well, I want you to sign something that says that you won't hold me liable for not backing up any of the information that I, you know, suspect will be very valuable going through that thing.
Right.
You know, it takes some defensive measures that we don't know if they took or not. I'm talking to the MSPs out there who are listening to this. This is where they should start really protecting themselves moving forward.
So let's say somebody, let's take this to a bigger realm then here. I'm going to keep pushing this point. An MSP is approached by somebody who you think is a drug dealer, or you think is a gangster, or you think is, you have reason to suspect they're up to no good. They're breaking the law by what they're doing. They're a public official hiding information. They're a company creating some secret back channel. Or are you just, it's not up to me what they're doing with the email. So if you think they're really up to some nefarious purpose, are you at all responsible to report that, to look into it? Or do you just close your eyes and run the server?
You have certainly probably some moral and ethical obligations, if depending on where you live.
Right.
If you're in the United States, you may have a state law, and you probably have a federal law that covers those things. If you are an MSP Alliance member, you have an we have a code of ethics. It's mm-hmm. translated into probably four or five different languages.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the English version says very clearly about, you know, the things that they are should be doing and things that they should not be doing. But there's a couple of references to, you know, you should follow your local, you know, and applicable laws that apply to you and what you're doing. And
yeah, what if it's child pornography? What if they're using to promote child pornography or something? Or do you just close your eyes? I don't know what's on there. I didn't know what they were doing with it. I just set up the account.
Not a defense. And had this company been going through our, you know, MSP Cloud Verify examination and audit, it probably would have triggered, you know, some red flags,
yeah.
Big ones.
Okay, so beyond the liability, just are you breaking the law by doing this? Then let's talk about what you've been talking about, which is knowing that this is now a more sensitive account. How do you cover your butt? How do you cover your ass here? How do you prevent yourself from being pulled into lawsuits because you didn't protect it enough or to do other sorts of things? How do you protect yourself? If you agree to take this on, how do you cover yourself?
There are two approaches that I advocate for MSPs and the mature MSPs that I've seen operate in this way. One, the MSP goes in with the knowledge that if they're going to take responsibility for the server, let's use Hillary's server as an example, they're going to do some basic fundamental things, best practices we call them in the MSP Alliance world, to make sure that they are doing things according to our standard of conduct, number one. Number two, if the client says, you know what, I really don't want backup. I don't want to back up my personal email, which has all this confidential classified stuff on it, to a third-party server or a cloud environment someplace else, then the MSP at that point should say, I am not going to take on the liability. If you then say, or in this case, the FBI comes up and says, hey, Platte River, do you happen to have a backup of this stuff?
Yeah, right.
And they say, no, we don't. But we do have this letter that says we are not required to because our client signed it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the second way they can protect themselves.
And if they hadn't, then the FBI says, well, maybe your response, you knew this was Hillary Clinton, you knew this had to be archived, and you didn't meet the letter of the law. You're just as guilty as she is. She was guilty for setting it up, for approaching you to do something illegal, and you were liable for not doing it in a legal fashion.
This is why you're precisely right, Paul, because this is why we are, and I'm so passionate about this, not because of the politics, but because I don't want to see other MSPs get hurt due to a lack of public awareness of what MSPs do day in and day out. And when you get one that happens to play such a pivotal role in a major political, you know, news cycle like this, it brings negative attention to us. MSPs out there are some of the only defensive operators safeguarding their clients against God knows what trying to attack them.
Right.
And this is kind of inexcusable in my opinion, because this is not the way MSPs operate day in, day out throughout the world, as far as I've seen.
And listen to this, MSPs out there. If you haven't thought of this already, this now could lead to direct government oversight of what you're doing. This could lead to laws preventing, not only making it clear when they can have a private server and what they can do with it, but what you, the MSP, are responsible for once you discover this is, once they disclose, I'm a government employee and this and that, then you have to suddenly adhere to maybe some new rules. Is that what the industry, isn't that frightening to the industry? This could lead to whole oversight and regulation and hearings about MSPs.
Well, yeah, we have publicly advocated we don't want direct oversight because quite frankly, the industry moves at such a pace that there is no way that our federal government or any government body anywhere in the world could keep up with the pace of change in cloud computing and managed services.
Sure.
However,
and I don't think people have been calling for that at any level, but now you get a scandal like this as it drags on and the MSP gets dragged into the public limelight, it would seem to me that the natural thing is a congressional hearing, and out of congressional hearing comes new laws, new regulations.
Regardless of where you stand on the political spectrum, it's not
inconceivable this could happen. Yeah.
Not inconceivable to come away from this saying, if our national secrets were spilled out there because improper protection of this server and the information that flowed through it, we need a renewed evaluation of how we handle IT in the United States,
right,
and anywhere in the world. And we need to really look at how we outsource, how we select these companies, how did they get selected to do what? Right? Back up? Well, they didn't back up anything, or at least they're not coming forth with that. Did they monitor it? We don't know. You know, the reports are that they kept this server in a bathroom closet.
Mm-hmm. I mean, this just gets absurd at some point in time here. This is the best week. MSPs, this is the whole argument that don't put it in your bathroom closet. That's why you come to us. We'll protect it. We'll save it. We'll secure it. And here she comes, and they take a server and stick it in a bathroom closet.
Charles, I have a question here. So let's assume it was genuinely a private server with private email. You know, there's some privacy issues here, because is the MSP responsible for ensuring that there was no classified data, you know, passed along to that server, assuming they were told that it would be used for genuine private use? Because, I mean, is it their responsibility to make sure there was nothing classified in there?
No. So that's a good question. As far as my opinion is concerned, the MSP, Platte River Networks, was not responsible for determining whether the information on it was classified or not. That's solely the responsibility of in this case, Hillary and her direct superior. So the responsibility, however, is on Platte River Networks to do things like basic backup, basic updates, and how were they doing those things? And once they became aware of it, that this was, you know, a high profile server, which should have been very soon, what measures did they take to safeguard themselves against these claims of negligence,
being
accused of? Yeah.
All right. Well, we got a lot of. I wanted this to sink in a little bit here, because there's several issues that I think really look at. Is the MSP, as we said, at all responsible if somebody comes to you, a government official, and says, I want to set up, what if she openly said, I want to set up a back channel to secretly do this? I'm going to tell you exactly what I'm doing, folks. And they went, sure, no problem, happy to help you. Here's how we'll do it. We'll stick it in a bathroom and nobody will know. I mean, if it came, I don't know how you'd prove that, and I don't know that, even know that that happened. But if somebody came to you and said that, is the MSP at all responsible for setting up something that turns out to be illegal? And if not, are they responsible for higher standards once they find out it's a government official or something secret? And if not, are they just, you know, totally, we're just serving up a service here, and whether you were doing this legal, what we did was secure or not, none of that's, we have no liability in this whatsoever. We were just hired to do something, and we did it. I think those are some issues we're going to talk about some more right after this break. Stick around, folks. This is going to get hot.
Wow. Marketing predictions are out for 2015, and marketing success is changing. Did you know that Google is now actively tracking your business and personal brand and online reputation? Online and offline marketing has changed. Google is driving more than 85% of your traffic. And if your brand is inconsistent or has poor mobile usability, your rankings and traffic can suffer in 2015. To learn how your business is currently viewed and what can be done to improve your brand's visibility and authority, contact SunUp Group for a free marketing analysis. It could be a business game changer. Visit www.sunupgroup.com today or call 877-609-3840, extension 700.
Let's face it, not all company challenges are the same, which is why Strategic Market Intelligence can help identify the actionable information you need to be more competitive. Gain a better understanding of your brand, competition, best prospects, or new product opportunities to generate greater revenues in 2015. Call 949-357-9547 or visit www.strategicmarketintelligence.com.
All right, we're back with Charles Weaver, CEO of the MSP Alliance, and Aaron Mungle from Network Remedy. Does this scare you guys? You think this is going to blow into a bigger investigation into the whole industry, or is this just going to blow over? I'll start with Aaron. What do you think?
Well, you know, I've noticed a lot of technology exhibits anti-fragility, they call it, which basically means when there's attacks and there's sort of, you know, challenges to it, it gets stronger. So I see this kind of thing as a way for, really, it's almost not even the technology, it's us as the people to really tighten up processes and, you know, procedures, as Charles has kind of touched on. So to me, I think this is a great opportunity to really tighten up and demonstrate expertise and sort of highlight some of these processes and show that one is following these procedures, so that, you know, a lot of this is like hypotheticals. You know, if, you know, this happens, here's what documentation we have. So you're, as you said, covering your butt, covering your ass.
Yeah, you know? How do you protect it? What do you think, Charles? Is this scary? Is this something people in the industry should really be paying attention to and learning from, or is this just going to blow over?
I'm scared because the information that not just on her server, but our national infrastructure, our banks, our power grids, our celebrities, our movie, our Sony Pictures, movie studios. We have so much invested in tied up in information technology that unless we get a good grip on this, we could be facing really serious times ahead. And if I may, Paul, to your earlier question about, you know, a right of privacy for Hillary or any other public official. You know, we've had a national debate on and off for the last decade or so about, you know, the NSA
right.
and their ability to snoop and to capture metadata, you know, on a mass scale.
Right.
She had this private server to keep things private. I don't know if she's not only a public official, but I don't know if her privacy rights exceed or extend beyond the right of you, me, or Aaron, or any other.
Yeah,
you know,
if they outweigh the public right to know what she's doing because she's working for us, right?
That's true, but also the NSA has you know said, look, we want to safeguard the country, whether you like it or not, or whether you agree with this argument or not. They're saying we have a right to look at the Hillary Clinton private email servers if we think that there may be a national security. And of all the people in the United States, hers would have been the first place that would contain stuff that could damage us.
First place they go, yeah, right.
It's a big debate.
What do you think about then? I thought this was really wild and curious. It didn't really get too much coverage here when Secretary Kerry, her successor, comes out in some interview. I forgot what outlet it was. And they say, well, okay, you're now Secretary of State. How secure do you think your emails are to date, even through the government? You think the Chinese and others are reading them? And he hesitated and he said, probably.
Mm.
I mean, he just that casually like, yeah, it's even at our best level, it's probably not that secure.
That's true. But the value, as any MSP will tell you, is not if you are going to be hacked. Assume that you will. I mean, assume that everybody at one point is going to be affected by cybercrime at some level.
Particularly high-profile, high-value targets. Yeah, right.
Especially. But even individual, everyday citizens are targets, as the Secret Service told us at their keynote at MSP World earlier this spring. But the issue is any MSP that's worth their salt could probably tell you when you did get hacked.
Right.
And we do have these things called data breach notification laws, to your point, Paul, of a duty to report things when you know them. Mm-hmm. We already have these at a majority of the states in the U.S., a obligation to report if you think you may have been breached. If you don't know, if your MSP is not up to the task to know that you may have been hacked or some, you know, foreign entity hacked into your private email server, that's worse than having it on the state.gov server getting hacked, but at least you knew about it then.
Yeah, right. Do you think the government, how much more secure is the government then if Secretary of Kerry can casually say, even at our high level, they're probably breaking through with this stuff? Or let's look at the other, you know, the whole Wikipedia crazy thing here. We're supposedly got all these secret governments, our secret system set up to protect all this, and yet some contract employee way out in Hawaii can casually access this stuff, copy it, and disperse it to the world to our embarrassment here.
Very, very scary, and it should be a lesson for every individual, corporation, private sector, public sector person, and every MSP to pay more attention. We all have vulnerabilities. We all have something, whether we know it or not, that would be valuable to somebody else, whether it's monetized, you know, it can be monetized, or it's just used for political or corporate economic advantage. IT must be paid attention to, and we have to take it more seriously moving forward. Starting today.
Charles, if the MSP was not given a subpoena by the FBI, are they, what is the privacy issues or policy around being required to turn over a server? I mean, did they actually have to do that, or were they just kind of cooperating with the FBI, which I completely understand why they would, but, you know, from a privacy standpoint, you know, where do we stand there?
Yeah, well, so it's a good question.
Are they the Swiss bank that says, we're not required to, you put the money in the bank, we don't have to tell you how much money is in there. We're a Swiss bank. We're in the Cayman Islands here. We're protecting this, you know?
Well, in this case, I believe the facts are fairly clear. And one of the few clear things in this whole scenario that is clear is that at the point where the FBI paid a visit to Denver, to Platte River Networks, they knew that classified information had been on the box that they were managing. So at that point, talking national security laws that probably trump, you know, almost everything else. Mm-hmm. And they just, you know, probably went there and said, look, we have a right and a duty to find out what was on that box. And did you make any backups of this box? And ask them some questions. And they probably wouldn't have been able to just not reply.
And right. Here's the other thing that shocks everybody. This smacks of the Nixon water. And I'll disclose, I'm a Democrat. I've been inclined to vote for Hillary, quite frankly, up until this point in time. it just seems so stupid again. Our public officials seem to get caught doing the most stupid things here. But anyway, Nixon famously turned over the Watergate tapes that he was keeping, and gee, there just happened to be a critical 18-minute gap here. Is this the 18-minute gap, and is there any liability to the MSP for complying with her request to wipe it before they turn it over?
There's things called obstruction of justice. If they turned on the news and suddenly realized, hey, there's not only an FBI investigation, but there's also a congressional committee looking into this, and oh my, you know, we're now the subject of this investigation,
and we're holding the data, and she's saying wipe it.
Absolutely not. I mean, I wouldn't do it. I mean, that would be like someone, you know, bringing you that proverbial brown paper bag. Remember in right. Godfather Part Two, he says, here, hold this for me, and you know, keep it safe for a week.
Yeah.
No, you don't do those types of things. Those are the things that get you into trouble.
Or the Arthur Anderson, you know, cooking the books, something like that.
Or Enron,
Or Enron, yeah.
So does this going to have a chilling, is this going to have a chilling effect on MSPs dealing with famous people, big sensitive defense contractors and public officials? Are they just going to shy away from all of this stuff? Or are there sensible ways and policies that this, going forward, these kinds of requests should be handled?
Unequivocally, absolutely, undeniably, no. It won't have a chilling effect because the fault can never be shifted to Platte River Networks as the party that was responsible for this setup in the first place. That mm-hmm. always has to be on the owner, the owner, not just the physical owner, but the person responsible for the data flowing through it.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That is the person or party that must always bear the responsibility for that. Platte River Networks is responsible to the extent that did they protect themselves? Did they do certain things that conform to existing industry best practices? Everything that I've seen says no, but it doesn't mean that you have a doctor that did something bad. You stop going to the doctor? No, you just do better due diligence and you have guidelines for selecting your professionals.
And if it turns out that there was any obstruction of justice, any cover up, any erasure of sensitive stuff to save her skin, were they then complicit in this? Because they did wipe out a whole bunch of stuff. They claim, she said, wipe these out, these are private, and give them these, the 20 or 30 or 50 or whatever it is, 1,000. These they can see because they're work-related. You know, it started with, at least again, how this original thing, she turned this over voluntarily and said, here are the work-related emails in compliance, so you can put them in the Freedom of Information Act, you can vet them and look at them, and then release them if you see fit. But the rest of these, no, these were mine, and there's nothing, I'm telling you, there was nothing of interest there, and I asked my private contractor to wipe them out, and they did. Are they liable if they knowingly or even unknowingly, if they just said, okay, sure, you want those 30,000 gone? Great. And then it turns out as they search the hard drive and find, you know, hidden magnetic copies of these things in the background, you shouldn't have casually wiped those out at her request. You were wiping out sensitive information, stuff that's going to be held in a lawsuit here.
Yeah, well, that's the obstruction issue that I have a feeling we'll get to at some point by some investigative body. But it begs the original question, gentlemen. The issue is, if she cared so much about her personal email, why did she commingle it
yes.
with things that she knew
right.
she had no privacy right to hide
right.
or control? That's the baffling thing, is that nobody denies she has a right to have she could have 100 servers running her private email system, and that would have been fine, as long as she had official stuff on her state.gov.
Right. Well, this is going to, I think, blow into something bigger. I don't know that it's going to blow away. I think they're going to try and drag it out. She's going to be hauled before a very antagonistic Senate committee. Actually, the third or fourth of these Benghazi committees that they've convened, there's one more now that started this investigation because they came to her and said, this is what Trey Gowdy, or whatever his name is, the representative from South Carolina, the Republican head of this thing, said that we were just looking and we just wanted to make sure we had all our emails. And in the process of asking all the emails, we discovered, I don't know why it didn't come out the three or four other investigations, that she had this private server, and that this may be a potential problem in and of itself. It was sort of like the Whitewater investigation. They started looking into Whitewater, and pretty soon it led to Monica Lewinsky, which had seemingly nothing to do with their original oversight mission here. But as we know, these groups are out for blood here, so they're going to try and dig everywhere, and maybe they discovered something.
Not to mention, how are other public officials feeling right now? Because I can guarantee you that someone else has at least potentially moved at least one email. I think there's a pretty decent chance that at least one person has potentially commingled some classified data. So, I mean, obviously that's, you know,
knowing
an opinion,
or unknowingly, you move from one
sure.
to the next, and all of a sudden you forward it to your private thing so you can read it at home, and all of a sudden you realize that in the chain of
right.
emails way down, somebody had attached something that says secret on it here.
Right.
Can I make a point, gentlemen, in
sure.
closing? I think that these are very important issues, and I know, I think we all agree, this is going to be over-politicized and abused. But the point I'd like to make is simply, we have standards of conduct in IT. We have figured out these issues in places like banking and healthcare. We already know how to protect this stuff.
Right.
Our certification audit standard is already being used at the federal banking level with the FFIEC.
Right.
If these things are not foreign to us, we just need to start applying those same well-known laws and rules and guidelines in these scenarios. And this is just an aberration, not something that we need to rethink things, because, again, we're not that far behind. I think this is just a case of a very big exception to an already well-known rule.
But it proves that one bad apple can spoil the whole bunch. One bad apple can lead to oversight and investigations. One bad apple can smear the whole industry here. And that's why I start off by asking if they were part of your group. I'm pleased to know that they weren't, so that this was some, I don't know if rogue's the right idea, but they were operating outside of the even the industry standards and the rules of operation here. And
we operate to make sure these types of this type of behavior does not exist in the managed services cloud computing world. So emphatically, I don't think this is the norm. And yeah, I think that's fairly easy to say.
Well, and you make a good point that it's not like we can't figure out some of these things. We do it with HIPAA compliance, the health mm-hmm. information. We do it with banking stuff. There are other sensitive areas that MSPs are pulled into every day, and politics is just one of many. And the fact that one operator who is not in the association that you oversee chose to operate in a sloppy or complicit or whatever, you know, I don't know if they were just sloppy or stupid or all the way up through complicit, but anyway, this is certainly going to be a mess for some time to come here. And I think it one more lesson why MSPs have to proactively join organizations like yours, get updated on the latest standards, and can't just sit and say, I didn't know.
And I think this is also teaching us to properly divide data, because we had talked to the chief data officer of LA, and they're making a lot of data available to the public
right.
under the open data portal. So to me, this says, okay, this give to the public, this guard carefully, and maybe this is opening up a conversation of properly labeling and containing data, because maybe there's still some like gray areas where it doesn't get highlighted until something like this happens, and then someone says, no, that was actually classified, but maybe prior to that it was, you know, there was some crossover.
Well, and it goes into the bigger issue, which we won't tackle today, of overclassification and stuff. They're just some people say they slap classified and everything way
right.
too much here, and they do that to prevent stuff coming out that's embarrassing that they didn't want anybody to see, so it's all a national security. It's all a national secret here. Well, fascinating stuff here. We'd love to have you come back and explore some more of these issues as they come up. I hope you're open to having these conversations, because I think it's the type of stuff we need to do as a society, and we certainly need to do as an industry. Thanks for so much for joining us here today. All right. Anything else? Fine. How do they reach you, Charles, if they want to learn more about your organization and what you guys do?
They can learn that. Go to MSPalliance.com to find out about our code of ethics, our standards, our audit program for MSPs and cloud providers, and yeah, a lot of good information there.
And give them, let's say some news outlet hears this and wants you as an expert to come on and talk about this crisis from the standpoint of the poor managed service provider stuck in the middle here. How would they reach you to contact you directly?
They can email me at charles@mspalliance.com, and I can assure you that is my work email, and I don't have any personal information on it.
That's not your Hotmail account here. Okay. And Aaron, how do they reach Network Remedy if they want to find out about all the good things? If she'd gone to Network Remedy, this would have never happened.
Industry compliance, yes, definitely. Networkremedy.com. You can find me on LinkedIn, Aaron Mungal, AaronMangal. And yeah, we're happy to answer any questions. And there's a lot of due diligence. There's a lot of frameworks here, like as Charles mentioned, that are available for us to do this right. So I think this is a great opportunity for the quality people to rise to the occasion.
That's right. There are people who know how to handle this and would have done it differently, it sounds like. All right. Thank you guys so much for doing this. And we'll be back next week with more interesting topics as we explored all the complexity and confusion about the cloud. Brought to you by Network Remedy and OC Talk Radio, Orange County's only community radio station.